Casey, the Casey in Casey and the Sunshine Band, one of the greatest R&B bands of all time, who have the great distinction of having sold over 100 million albums. I can't even fathom that. Casey is also one of the great songwriters and producers of our generation, and through his great love affair with music has pushed it to where it is now, and he's been rewarded for that effort with 9 Grammy nominations and 3 Grammy wins. Welcome to the show, Casey.
Thank you.
Casey, thank you for coming on. You were the only band other than the Beatles to have 4 number one songs in 12 months. That's quite an accomplishment. And 3 of those were also number one on the R&B charts. Casey, could you tell us how you approach songwriting?
Well, different ways. Sometimes I have a title. Sometimes I have the music first. I always have a working title, and then that working title might change by the time the final products come out.
Well, your second album, Casey and the Sunshine Band in 75, went triple platinum. And the song Get Down Tonight was, I believe, your first number one hit?
In the United States, yes.
Where did it go first?
Well, we broke out of the UK. I mean, we had minor records on the R&B charts here, but we broke out in Europe first.
Can you tell us a little bit about the song, kind of introduce it for us before we play it, Get Down Tonight?
Originally, it was called What You Want Is What You'll Get, and somehow I ended up calling it Get Down Tonight. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to it, you know, beyond that, actually.
About my favorite song, That's the Way, I like it. I know you've lived in Florida your whole life, and I've been to Florida many, many times, and I love it. Can you tell us how the vibe in Florida influenced your songwriting and even the song?
I mean, I don't know how much the vibe of Florida influenced me because there wasn't a whole lot of music from Florida at that time. I was probably influenced more by Motown and the Stax sound and James Brown and, you know, the New York sound with Aretha Franklin and all those, and Wilson Pickett and all that sort of stuff, more than anything. So I don't think Miami had too much to do with how the sound ended up. I just, when I started making the records, I just started putting elements in the records that I loved from other music, like horns and percussion and stuff like that. And I loved to dance, and I loved rhythmic music, so I wanted my music to be very rhythmic.
No, it is. It is.
Wonderful music.
You can't not dance to that music. You won 2 Grammys for this, Album of the Year and Producer of the Year in 1978. What was that experience?
Well, I mean, again, nobody knew that this movie was going to be what it was going to be, or even the soundtrack. It was just another, and they really came to us and said they wanted to put a song in the movie, and originally they wanted to put Shake Your Booty in the movie, and I suggested that they do Boogie Shoes because we were getting ready to put out Shake Your Booty. So beyond that, you know, I produced Boogie Shoes, so that's why I got a producer's credit for it.
Girl, to be with you is my favorite thing. Yeah, I can't wait to fly, see you again. Yeah, yeah. I wanna put on my.
I'm going to ask you about Shake Your Booty, since you were talking about that. That came off your third album, which also went triple platinum. Can you introduce it for us?
Oh, well, you know, Shake Your Booty is just a song about getting out there and shaking your booty, about not letting yourself, not holding yourself back from anything you want to do in life. Have confidence in what you're doing and get out there and shake your booty, pretty much.
That's good.
And do they do that at your concerts?
Oh, they're shaking their booties from the time we get on stage to the time we leave.
I believe
awesome.
It.
Northern Quest in Spokane on July 19th. We're going to be there. And so that is one of the big questions I had for you, is what people can expect.
Well, I mean, I keep everything in the show familiar, so I'd rather do covers, some bits and pieces of covers of songs that people have heard than do obscure tracks of my album. So, you know, it's a high-energy show. It's a production show. There's a couple ballads in the show because we had a couple ballads that were hits, one that I had with myself and the band and one I had with Terry DeSario.
Yes.
And other than that, it's just a high-energy, good-time show. I lived in Seattle off and on for about a year in 93. I had an apartment there.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. How'd you like that?
I loved it. It was so crazy because the weather was great. I kept thinking, this is a joke. The only reason you tell people the weather's bad is because you don't want them to move up here. The year I was there was the most perfect weather, and I think it was really abnormal, actually, according to everybody else, because they said it's not always like this. And I said, yeah, right.
A lot of rain.
It rains for just a short time, then it gets sunny.
Yeah. Well, it didn't rain that much that year, it seemed to me, or whatever. I don't know. It was just a great experience. I loved it up there. I met some great people, and I always have fond memories of being up there.
Please Don't Go is an awesome song. And I think it was the first number one song in the 80s, wasn't it?
It was. It was
That's
the first
my
number
generation.
Yes.
That's my generation. And most of our dances ended with that song, so we could grab our, you know, whoever impressed us enough and go hit the dance floor for one last slow song. So I love
it. Oh, wow. That's incredible.
I can't wait to hear it. Much for coming on today. You're going to be here July 19th at the Northern Quest. Tickets are starting at $45, and you're going to be performing with the Village People.
Yes.
So the whole night is going to be huge, and we're going to be talking to Felipe Rose tomorrow. Do you know him pretty well?
I know him very well.
Well, we're going to be talking to him tomorrow, and we're going to be there in the audience
we're
on July 19th.
We're very excited, Casey.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Casey, for coming on.
See you there. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm your booty man, that's what I am. I'm here to do whatever I can. Be it early morning, late afternoon, or at midnight, if necessary. Don't wanna please you, don't wanna keep you, don't wanna do it all for you. I wanna be your brother.
Felipe Rose, the original Native American in the Village People, the iconic American band that sold 100 million records and whose songs YMCA and Macho Man, to name only two, are still, 37 years later, some of our absolute favorites. Welcome to the show, Felipe.
Hello, good morning, everyone.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm awake.
That'll wake us up.
I'm awake.
Hey, Felipe.
Andy, hi.
Have you ever been to this area before?
I can't remember. I can't say if I have or haven't. I'm not good at stuff like that. I think Alex, the GI, and Eric, our biker, who's been with us for 20 years, they're very good at remembering, like where we were, like, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Once I do a show, I just walk away. I can't, you know, I don't, never,
well,
no, I don't know. I can't
Seattle.
Remember if I have.
We won't let
Is that
you
near
forget
Seattle?
It.
Yeah, how about Seattle?
Okay, so we've been to Seattle.
Yeah.
We've been to Oregon, right?
Oh, I'm sure you've been to all the places.
That's
yeah.
another state.
Yeah.
So that's
Nevada.
That's Portland. So no, I've not been there.
Oh, funny. Where are you right now?
I'm on the Jersey Shore in New Jersey.
Well, you're going to be
you've
a long
heard of
way
that,
from
you've
home.
You've heard of Asbury
we have
Park?
Heard. Oh yeah, many many times. But we have to touch base on your mother, because reading on your background, your mother was a huge inspiration in your life. And, of course, you love to dance. But I have to make note here on your mother that she was a dancer for the Copa Cabana in the 40s
actually,
and 50s.
She was she left Puerto Rico when she was she left by boat. So we're going back in the 30s, in the late 1930s. And so she grew up in New York City and was raised in the public school system of New York City in Manhattan. And her mother, as many parents do in other countries, particular Mexico and in other countries, where the parents come first, then they send for their children just to build a better life. And that's what my grandmother did from Puerto Rico. So she left my mother with I think her sister that was a school teacher, and then when she was 7 years old, she was put on a boat on an ocean liner, and she came to the United States that way.
Wow.
Well, she really
She grew up in New York, and she then met high school friends that were cutting class and going off to go dancing to the Copacabana because they had afternoon mambo and salsa lessons. And she just said, "Oh, I like this." And
that is really a nice story.
She actually then she quit high school, and she then became a dancer, and you know she was a chorus girl, and she used to hang out with like movie stars, and went down to Miami on weekends, and on a boat to Cuba, and that was when in Cuba the stories that she used to tell me of how elaborate and how beautiful the clubs were in Havana with Ernest Hemingway and that whole era, how beautiful it was, where people dressed to go out to impress.
So what was it like growing up with a mom like that? Because you're a major dancer. I mean, the Village People, that's what
they
do.
Well, I'm not a major dancer. I think I started late in life dancing. I mean, to start dancing like well into like 16, 17, where today kids start at 3 and 4. That was late.
True.
But
True.
The influence of musicians and singers and poets at the house, I had that growing up. And so I absorbed, you know, it's a child will absorb whatever they're presented and what they grow up with. And so for that reason, I love that she, of course, was artistic in that sense.
You're very artistic. You not only dance and sing and everything else, but you also have your own art.
I paint. Thank you. I paint. I cook. I write. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm an ordained minister. That's a lot of fun.
That.
Oh, my gosh.
I read that.
And, in fact, the biker and I, we were ordained in Vegas by this couple that wanted to get married on 11-11-11 because that was, like, a big, tricky – that was a big, big number where
lots of
weddings were happening. And so they ordained us, and then we married them on stage. They actually ordained us on 11-10-11, but then on 11-11-11, on the night of the show – they came up on stage in their disco clothes, in their disco outfits on.
That's awesome.
And we married Alberta and Frank Smokes, S-M-O-A-K-E-S. And then we became ordained ministers. And I pretty much I'm batting 8 weddings to Eric's now.
Oh,
3,
hey,
I guess.
If I wasn't already married, I'd ask you to marry me in a heartbeat when you come here to Spokane. But
if I ever get
Andy,
married,
though,
I am calling you.
Andy, you have 1 month
well,
to find a guy.
The thing is, we do a banging job. We do a banging job. But see, Eric is more in control of things than I am, because when it comes to the part when I listen to the vows of the couples, of them, what they say to each other, because everyone always wants to write something so that, you know, I can tell you from my heart how I feel. That's where I lose it, and I'm the one standing there. It's like, it's embarrassing.
Oh, no.
I love it. I
will
love
you
it.
Dance
it's embarrassing.
Off
it's embarrassing.
Will you dance?
Eric had to pull me over at the last one. He said, dude, it's not about you.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Everything's about you. If you come up here to Spokane, do it. Marry somebody and cry.
I would love to.
Thing.
I mean, we would stop the show. You should put that out.
We will.
You should put that out, because the thing is that, you know, with social network today, I mean, it goes viral, and people just, you know what? People love happy stuff.
They do.
Stuff that makes you happy, which is why over 3 decades we have been working around the world, continuously spreading, you know, the joy of, okay, yeah, it's disco, but that was a fun era back then. And so what we try to bring you is to make you feel like you're like we're going to Studio 54 tonight. And so people like a good time.
Oh, we love a good time.
What we'll do, we will find a couple.
We're
going to
put the word
one.
Out. Heck yeah, if you're willing to do it, we're going to put
the
word out.
It could be anything. It could be a couple of mules to horses to goats, of anything.
Okay, there will be a marriage performed on July 19th at the Northern Quest.
Two chickens. You can bring out 2 chickens. Maybe, you know, there's a couple up there that, you know, own animals. Oh. And then the guys in the group will look at me and go, did you do this?
You are too fun.
Felipe, are you the only one of the original ones left?
No, actually, we have Alex Briley, the GI.
Okay.
And then in 1980, we have Ray from 1980, who was in the movie Can't Stop the Music. And, you know, I guess, you know, the thing is, while I'm doing all of these other things, I think the passion of the performing, the live performing, is what really what's kept me still in this game. You know, I just never thought that I would. Some people have left, just most recently have left in the group, and we have 2 new members because they just didn't want to do it anymore. And one left because his back was so bad, the construction worker, David.
Of course,
it's no,
a construction
it was serious.
Worker.
It was serious.
Of course,
it
yes.
was serious. His,
I know.
His back, there was a disc. He was hanging by a disc, you know, and his doctor
horrible.
Eventually told him, because he had injured himself so many times. That it was like, it was, seriously.
Yeah.
David left, and it was time. He just said, look, I had a great time, but I'm not going to kill myself, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to retire, and he's happy, happy, happy.
I bet. Well,
I said something to him on Facebook, because we're friends on Facebook, and I said, do you miss us? And he wrote back, no.
No.
No? What? That's an insult. Of course he misses
no,
you.
No, I don't blame him. Listen, you know, when the day comes when I get to step away, I'm going to enjoy that.
But
Felipe,
you
could be stand-up.
Yeah, you're
you
funny.
You could be.
Well, he is stand-up.
I'm
stand-up
thinking
comedian.
About it. I'm thinking
you could
about
be.
It. I'm thinking about it. I just hate, you know, like when I'm painting, I suck at drawing hands. So I was saying that to a friend of mine, and he said, well, you know, you shouldn't suck at anything. When was the last time you sucked? And I said, well, when I was trying to draw, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, you know, just every time you suck, just keep trying and until the sucking gets better. And I said, what are we talking about?
You are bad.
I'm like, you know, so, yeah. I mean, I have to now, a friend of mine told me that yesterday on Facebook, photograph your hand or photograph a hand. And that's a good way to look and then to draw and to paint.
Felipe, you know what you can always do? Trace.
Who?
Trace a hand.
Andy wants you to go back to tracing.
Oh, no, no.
No,
no,
yeah, don't
no,
take that
no,
advice,
no,
Felipe,
no. It's got a, yeah.
Bad advice.
Sometimes it comes out a bit Picasso-ish, but that's okay.
Hey, that's cool, actually. That's awesome. So, Felipe, what is the craziest thing that's ever happened at a performance before? I think I'm really looking forward to the July 19th thing, because I'm assuming everybody pretty much gets wild and crazy at these events.
They do. I mean, back in the day, they used to throw up undergarments on stage, and well, we thought that was a cute idea, so we decided that when the flags come out for in the Navy, we take out in the second, right, in the last chorus, and then we pull out the American flags. That's what they are now. But they used to be semaphore flags, naval flags. But during that time, because they were throwing so many bras and panties and underwear on stage, we decided the crew stapled them to our flags, and we didn't know it. And when we pulled them out, there was this huge roar, and we looked up, and we were swinging bras and panties, and so we kept that in for a while, but then we were like, okay, let's stop. And so now what we do, like, say we were in Manila last week, when we take out the second set of flags, which is the American, we always have a flag related to the country's flag. So we had the flag of Manila.
Uh-huh.
So that gets a big roar.
I bet. Oh, well, I'm excited. I'm sure it's different every single performance.
Every show is different because no two audiences are alike.
That's right.
Exactly.
You'll make us get crazy here in Spokane. We need a little crazy. And I want to get somebody married. I'm definitely going to be
pitching that.
We're going to try our dang hardest.
That.
If it's not Andy.
And most likely will happen
someone.
Right before we introduce the guys, where that's the halfway through the show, and say, you know, hey, we're going to bring up a couple here, blah, 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 blah. And it'll be quick, and we'll read something, and they'll say something, and then boom. Okay,
you're
now
married.
Get off the stage.
Boom,
we're in show business,
off of here,
not
yeah.
you. And then we'll just continue. Because there was this huge, huge, giant drag queen on stage in a big club called It in Holland. And we were on coming on at 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so the lights come up, and you know, while the show started, we could see the flashing of the strobe lights, but there was this thing sitting there and facing the audience. The lights come up, and it's this big drag queen. And, you know, we were doing a show, and the lead singer, like, you know, just like tried to ignore her but acknowledged her at the same time. And so she just stayed there. So then I came out to talk and to introduce the I think a song or number, and I stopped and I said, excuse me, hi, and like did this with the big hands, like hello, and I said, are you in show business? And she nodded, or he nodded, no, and I said, then get the hell off the stage! And people fell out. She slid right off.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, we are not going to get anywhere near
enough.
That stage.
That's enough.
You are near that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's back to me again. There we go.
You are too fun.
I wouldn't even want to get up there and compete with you, Felipe. You're awesome. I'm looking forward to July 19th,
thanks.
Northern Quest Casino. I hope you love Spokane because we love you guys. We cannot wait to see you here.
Well, is
we're
it going
to
be cold up there? What's
going to
happen?
No, it's
going
to be
hot.
You think, hi, you can just dance around in your most skimpy Native American outfit you have. And
so
you
I don't
be...
get to go up there with my plaid coat, my plaid jacket,
no,
and my...
I hope
too
not.
Hot. Too
I
hot.
No, okay. All right. Okay.
But have a blast
we'll
when you're here.
Fur.
We'll
throw
there.
A little fur on the loincloth.
That's right.
You're
going to be
hot.
Great. You're going to be hot.
You are absolutely
Felipe, give
great.
Deborah a big hug when you see her for us. She's awesome.
I will.
You
thank you so much,
ladies.
Felipe, thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.